Welcome back to ZBZ on Today and Now. We have a very special guest today, Jessica Laurentian. She is the professor of Indigenous Rights at Ryerson University. It is a very trying time right now for Indigenous people in Canada.
Of course.
And I'm so glad that you're here, Jessica, today.
Thank you.
And this must mean a lot to you, because I remember reading online that you are 128th Indigenous, I believe. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
There's really so much to talk about.
So painful. It's just been very painful. Mm-hmm. Personally, as a person of color, as a BIPOC member, community member, just to witness the hatred and the systemic oppression and destruction of my people.
Yeah. And before we go into the politics of everything, the policy changes you might be asking for, the politicians responsible talking about Native reserves not having clean drinking water, let's talk about your feelings. How have you been feeling over the past week? And what is it like to walk through a park with a Sir John A. Macdonald statue, for example?
It's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. I mean, there are no words, really.
No words.
To see a statue, a monument to hatred and colonization that I have to see and walk near. You can very almost feel the racism emanating from the statue as you walk past it. Sometimes when I get home, hair has fallen out of my head, and I have to wonder if the radioactive levels of hatred emanating from that statue are balding me and trying to harm me from beyond the grave, knowing that I am 128th Wet'suwet'ka'daka'bit'ka tribe.
I'm sorry. I'm just getting really emotional hearing your recollection of that, and if you could help our listeners, how do when you're walking through the park, how do you put one foot in front of the other when you're feeling that racism just permeating from the statue? How are you able to do that? Where do you find the strength?
Through a focus group where myself and many other 1/1000th and 1/1 billionth BIPOC identifying people, Elizabeth Warren actually began this program.
Oh, that's great.
Where we share strategies and develop how to cope with these things in the world. And one of them that I've found to be very successful for myself and my students is that when you're approaching these areas, is to move the oculus device in your, otherwise known as the eyeball of the human body, towards the ground, or perhaps to the horizon, or away from the damaging and toxic monument. Mm. That in that way, in so doing, you are not internalizing its presence by seeing it with your eyes.
Wow, that sounds very robust.
Sometimes, and even you can just not go to those places and not be near them. Mm. Also, and it's very frustrating to deal with. Some students suggest that it's just a statue. And I find that to be the most
unbelievable
thing of all.
That's unbelievable.
And it is. It's truly shocking.
And when it comes to dealing with trauma in this advanced program that you've made with Elizabeth Warren, is there a course available for purchase that we should point people in the direction of?
Yes, you can go to my website, laurentianelites.com, and it's $69.99 per week per session, one session of 15 minutes.
Wow.
And you can
that's great.
Pay in installments. Credit cards will take anything.
I'm going to check that out.
And we'll teach you these tools, and it really is just, it's so harmful. Mm-hmm. And when we just this morning, I was teaching a class about how destructive and just damaging and how much harm these statues and figures of historical events and people, just by seeing them,
yeah,
how much damage they can do. That a student in my class, Naria, she just got here from Syria. She had to get up and leave the room out of disgust for what I can only assume is white supremacy She just couldn't handle it. She just got up and left as I was talking about how destructive it is to see a statue.
It really is a growing problem, the white supremacy.
Her entire city, and she's from Idlib in Syria, and it's completely in ruins. So I assumed that was the last straw. She couldn't process any more violence.
It must have brought up a lot of trauma for her, seeing these statues. It must have reminded her of the white supremacy back home in Syria.
Of course.
However, I want to ask you the critical question. How many more statues need to be taken down in Canada before you can sleep at night?
Statues themselves are rooted in white supremacy. It was an invention of neo-Nazis in the Roman times. And as we know, the actual Nazi salute is the Roman salute. The Romans actually invented neo-Nazism. Mm-hmm. And everything is rooted in white supremacy, including statues. So I think starting with all statues in all historical texts and everything being erased, so we can start clean with a clean slate of hope and tolerance and love and kindness, most importantly, kindness. And the only way we can do that is if we completely and totally erase all history.
I mean, it sounds so simple. That sounds so simple to me. And thank
it's
you.
It's a tall task. And, you know, there is still white supremacists and neo-Nazis everywhere. And it's proven by just how diverse our country. Canada is the most multicultural country in the world. And that just proves how much neo-Nazi and how much white supremacism there is here.
There truly is so much here, isn't there? But I have to ask, because we've been seeing the Egerton Ryerson statue being torn down. We've even seen the Sir John A. Macdonald statue going down in both Montreal and in Kingston as well. And how does that make you
it feel? I have to say, it pleases me sexually to see that.
That's incredible to hear.
I'm just
so great.
It's just
please tell me.
Seeing it crater to the ground like that and knowing that I've done my part in destroying history just makes me very proud.
Yeah.
I feel very much like the BIPOC women that stormed the beaches of Normandy.
Exactly.
You know, and the BIPOC women that parachuted over France in 1944. I feel very a kinship to my sisters and BIPOC people that did all of the heavy lifting in those wars.
Exactly.
And now I feel like I'm repaying that debt that I have to them and destroying history just like they would have wanted.
Thank you so much for telling that story and reminding us all of how we've triumphed over our colonial patriarchal past.
Yeah.
I need to compose myself, and we do need to ask the tough questions here on CBZ.
Uh-oh.
What is it like to see your fellow brothers and sisters and non-binary kin of the Indigenous community when they're tearing down the statues of these past neo-Nazi tyrants? What is it like to see the resistance to them, to see these white neo-Nazi people? I don't know where they come from.
It is very scary. It's scary.
How are we supposed to deal with that? How do you deal with that?
I live in fear every day that I'm going to see another statue, or I'm going to open up a page in a history book, or I'm going to open a website and there's going to be the stoic, murderous face of a white man from a historical time period staring back at me, and I'm going to have no choice. I'll be triggered, and I'll be honest. I curl up in a ball with ice cream, and I talk to my therapist for most of the day, who is also my cat, Pebbles. And you know, we tackle it together. And it's challenging. It's very difficult. But again, I think to my heroes, my BIPOC female heroes that helped overthrow the Nazi regime, and what they would do. And I feel like I'm on the right path. And, you know, we have to come together as the first post-national state global citizens that we are really. There is no Canada. And as global citizens to have these people just fixed. Just have them fixed. Like, I'm so frustrated that so many of them can walk around freely to express their ideas and no one is just forcing them to just shut up. You know, like, no one is just making them just go away. And
exactly.
it's so frustrating, and I'm hoping that with this new the Prime Minister has just He's beside him. You can tell how tired he is and how hard he works to stand up for us. I'm just so proud and proud.
Yeah.
And happy and proud and also proud.
It's great to hear that, because I feel that way. I know so many other Canadians.
I mean, enough is enough, right?
Enough
I mean,
is
there
enough.
There has to be a point when
enough is enough.
Something has to be done about these people.
Something has to be done about these people. You're so right. Mm. And I really hope that the Canadian government can do something about these people, some sort of master plan. But I really want to come back, Jessica, to your emotions and how you're feeling. Tell me, what are the next steps? What needs to be done in order to heal?
That's a tough question. Mm. More of the same. More statues erased, more books burned, and just... If we're able to succeed in stripping these people of any kind of historical reference or example or clues, hints, any kind of landmarks to what their identity is, that in that way we can basically turn them into autonomous drones and then, you know, rebuild their identity the way that we believe that we know is the proper way forward. And mm-hmm. and sometimes people just if they can't help themselves and if they can't come to the right conclusions on their own, then it's up to us to make sure that they do by any means necessary.
That is what our heroes
in the past would have done with the Nazi regime, and that's what we'll do now.
That is such a great comparison. I love that. And what people don't realize, all these people, a lot of these white supremacist neo-Nazis, they're obsessed with this, you know, free speech and all this. And, you know, some books...
Well, free speech allowed Hitler. If he had just been silenced, then all of that would have been avoided. So it's up to us to learn from the past and learn to identify worrisome, frightening people and just have them done away with quietly and quickly before they can spread any of their toxic hate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure that's this kind of stuff that you've learned about at Ryerson University. And while we're on that topic, because a lot of people do not understand this, we are canceling Canada Day this year. Finally, it was canceled. And maybe you could give us the insight based on everything that you've learned, because the amount of knowledge you have on this topic, it just exudes. I can just sense it.
Thank you.
And maybe you could just give us a little taste, just a little taste of that. Of why it's so obvious that canceling Canada Day was the right decision to make.
Well, obviously, I mean, to celebrate a flag or a country is just such an archaic and Neanderthal way of thinking and non-inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
What about all of the other people from other parts of the world, from other countries that aren't Canadian? How does that make them feel to see us celebrate a country and a place that they're not yet allowed to be a part of and collect any kind of funds from our welfare state? I mean, it's harmful and it's not inclusive, and it makes people feel bad. And that is primarily our only objective, is to make everyone feel good.
Yes.
All of the time. Forever.
It's so great that you bring that up, because I personally love to celebrate and fly the pride flag, because for me the pride flag means so much. These archaic ideas like traditional families and gender stereotypes, it's a thing of the past.
Exactly.
And that's how I represent that.
Identifying with any kind of tribe or group at all is absolutely, especially, I mean, mostly only for white people, but it's the only way forward that we can progress as a species, is to belong to one giant, large, faceless, amorphous blob with no defining characteristics from one person to the next. Everyone is essentially the same. Ideally, we would live in a world where everyone dresses the same, looks the same, talks the same, lives the same.
Non-gendered.
Exactly. Everything the same. And that way, it will be fair.
I mean, fairness. Is that so hard to ask? And you being an Indigenous woman yourself, I mean, you're the person who can tell us about the fairness, I mean, because of your identity, simply.
I've just only found out myself this past year. But honestly, I felt like that my entire life. I always knew I was special and knew that I was, from a young age, some kind of victim. And every time I failed in life and every time I came up against adversity, I knew that somewhere along the line, this isn't my fault. This is someone else's fault. And I've been wronged, and I had been persecuted. And it was very satisfying to find out that that is the case. And that is because I am 100,000 millionth. Let me get my paper here. We can edit this out, right? I can't remember what the name of the tribe is, but I am a part of that, and that is you'll edit this out, right?
I'll see what we can do. Yeah, of course, we're live.
Okay, thank you.
But your identity as an Indigenous woman is the most important thing about you.
Yeah, a victim, really, and as a victim, I believe that my opinions should trump everyone else's, because as a victim, you know, no one understands what it's like to have anything bad happen to you, because only victims know that.
Yeah.
We're the only people that have to go through the trauma of knowing that on a genetic level, 1/1,000,000,000% of my DNA has been persecuted and traumatized. And that has affected me very deeply throughout my life.
And I think if we're honest with one another, for all of our listeners, if we are honest, I don't really care what you've done, what you do, what your actions are, even if you're a good or a bad person, because your identity is what's most important, the color of your skin.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That's really all that should determine how we look at one another, is simply these immutable characteristics that we can't control. That's all that matters. I don't really care about the actions.
Totally agreed. Absolutely. You sound like you've taken my class.
Well, I do love to read your articles online. You are at the cutting edge, the leading edge of just stomping out and preventing the spread of white supremacy in this country. And that is so much why I wanted to have you on the show. I'll let you get back to your pebbles and your bottle of wine.
Thank you. Say bye, pebbles. Oh, she's feisty.
All right. Thanks again, Jessica, for being on the show.
Thank you. I'm just happy that we've come to a nice conclusion before this wine really starts to affect my mouth.
Well, you've earned it. You have earned it. Till next time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
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 Find more episodes like this at thewokenmail.com. Thank you for listening.
I'm going to go drink some wine and hang out with Pebbles now. Do you want to come over? Or?
Absolutely. Yes.